Amen. Again, we thank Ruth very much for that message and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts. Perhaps we could just stand together, please, for a wee word of prayer, just to change our position as we turn to the Word of God this evening. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee again for Thy presence already with us. Lord, we thank Thee for the one who says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." And Lord, we thank Thee that as our sister has been singing, the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting. The Saviour is waiting to enter Thy heart. Lord, we pray tonight that some dear man or woman, some boy or girl, may realize that the Saviour is knocking at their heart's door, that they may wait no longer, that they may turn and seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. Lord, touch my lips with a live coal from off the altar. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power. And grant, Lord, that we might know that anointing of the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit as we seek to proclaim Thy precious word. For we ask all these things in the Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Amen. Now we're turning again tonight to the Gospel according to Matthew, and the harvest season's a lovely season of the year, and I love the harvest season, even though I was born and bred and brought up in the city of Belfast. We were singing there tonight, "All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin." There's some craters about the country and they're saying some are still now lying out, waiting for the next big heavy plight, and they need to get out and get the harvest gathered in. But you know, the Bible says much about harvests, and I love that wonderful promise that the Lord has given us there in the book of Genesis, and I repeat it, and I say to myself, isn't that a wonderful promise? In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, God says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." And it's good to remember that's what God says in His word in this age of the Extinction Rebellion and the insulate protesters and we grumpy Greta shouting at everybody. It's good to remember that God says that while this earth remaineth, the seed time and the harvest, the summer, the winter, the cold and the heat, it shall not cease. And the Bible talks about many harvests. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus there in the Gospel of Matthew 9 and 38. And He says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He might thrust forth laborers into the harvest." For He says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And there's a harvest that is vast. And when we begin to think about this little province of ours and the whole of the United Kingdom and the United Kingdom and the south of Ireland and all the nations of Europe and then right across the world, and we think of the other nations and we think that on the opposite direction, the United States and Canada and South America and all these nations, we realize there are millions and millions of precious souls, and many of whom who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a vast harvest out there, and we need, as the Lord has said, to pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth or thrust forth laborers into His harvest field. And oftentimes at the harvest season, the words of Jeremiah 8 and 20 are preached upon, and rightly so, that the harvest is past and the summer is ended and we are not saved. And we read there about Jeremiah, who was called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah walked amongst his people and he wept over his people and he witnessed to his people and he worked for his people, and he was taken and cast into the dungeon and into prison because people would not believe the message that he preached. He called them to repentance, and to turn to God and be forgiven for their idolatry and for their sin. But they would rather have the false prophets, the prophets who said, peace, peace, when Jeremiah says, there was no peace. They said they looked to Egypt for help. Egypt in the Bible is always a picture of this world. And dear friend, tonight, if you're not a Christian, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this old world is not a friend of grace to help you unto God. There's no help in this world to satisfy the cravings and the longings of your immortal soul. The old preachers used to say that in the heart of every man, there's a God-shaped vacuum, and nothing can fill it up, only the Holy Spirit of God, when a man or woman is saved. Houses and lands and money and possessions and wealth and fame, all these things fail to satisfy. So the Bible reminds us there's a harvest that is vast out there. Many men and women need to be saved. There's a harvest, sadly, for some who is past. The harvest is past. There are men and women like those in Jeremiah's day. They said they looked to Egypt. They listened to the false prophets, and the time was going on, and the time was going on, and it was going by. And then they said, now the time has come that the harvest passed, the summer's ended, and still we are not saved. Maybe there's someone in our meeting tonight, and as the hymn writer says, many harvests you have seen, and many summers you have wasted, and you're still not saved. Perhaps this is the night when God would speak to you. And I want to think tonight not about the harvest that was vast or the harvest that is past, but a harvest that is last. In the book of Revelation, we're reminded of it as we were in the Gospel of Matthew, but in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14, it says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. The last harvest, when God would say to his Son to thrust in the sickle and reap the great harvest of the earth. The old hymn writer put it like this: when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise. That'll be a wonderful thing when the last harvest comes. But we were reading tonight from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 3. The preacher was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a rugged character. The Lord Jesus said to the people, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? Did you go out in the wilderness to see a reed that would be shaken by the wind? Oh, he said, John is no reed that is shaken by the wind. John is not the kind of person that's going to try and trim the message to suit the hearer. He says John is far much more than John is a prophet, and more than a prophet. And when John was preaching the word of God, and all Jerusalem and Judea were coming out to him, and he's preaching there at the Jordan River, and people are repenting of their sin and confessing their sins, then John sees the religious leaders of the day in verse 7. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to his baptism. Now John knew nothing about political correctness. He wasn't a bit worried about it or a woke society. John said, you are a generation of vipers. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He wasn't really trying to endear himself to them. Sure he wasn't. But he knew what their hearts were like. He knew all about them. He knew what was going to happen. He saw these men coming, and he despised the way they had treated even the people. And then John goes on to preach And he speaks about one who is coming. And he says, he's coming after me in verse 11. He's mightier than I am, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John says, we are here at the Jordan River, and I'm baptizing the people in the water, calling them to confess their sin, calling to repentance and get right with God. But he says, when Jesus comes, when the Messiah comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then John looks away to the end of the age, to that last harvest that we read about there in Revelation. And he says in verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I remember attending many, many ministers' ordinations and installations. And I remember our moderator, Dr. Paisley, preaching the Word of God. And he used to say to the young men who were being ordained to the ministry, or a minister who had moved from one congregation to the other and was being installed, used to remind us that one day we will have to give an account to the God of heaven. Is what he called for your credentials. If the presbytery lay hands upon you and ordain you, and you're the minister of a congregation, you have to live before God. And one day you'll give an account for every sermon that you preach. Have you been faithful? Have you warned men and women to flee from the wrath to come and to turn to Christ and to be saved? And right at the very commencement of our Savior's ministry, because he would be baptized by John there in the River Jordan at the commencement of his ministry, John looks away to the end. And John says there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Lamb of God, the one who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who is the Lord of the harvest, that one day he will reap the harvest of the earth. And he says when he does so, he will gather the wheat into his garner, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He will do what the farmer does. He will gather the wheat and he will burn the chaff. Now I want you to notice a very simple thing that the Bible says here. You'll notice we have in these verses an inspired description. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, listen, and will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And in this important description, in this scriptural description, the Bible reminds us that there are only two classes of people spoken of here in the harvest sense, in the agricultural sense, as the wheat and the chaff. In the Bible, there are many descriptions. We are reminded that as those who have been born again of the Spirit of God, we are like lively stones. And those stones are fitly framed together in the huge building, Peter says, that is the church of Christ. And Christ is the chief cornerstone. Christ is the foundation. And those of us who are saved, we are like lively stones. And we're fitly framed together in that great building. The Bible reminds us that we are the bride of Christ. That he is the heavenly bridegroom. And those who are born again of the Spirit make up the company of people described as the bride of Christ. The Bible also talks about the brotherhood of believers, that we are joint heirs with Christ, that he is, as it were, as our elder brother. We're reminded that Christ is the head of the body, And those who are saved are all parts of that body and have all different talents and different gifts, but they're all in the one body, and Christ is the head. And of course, this world, as it looks upon men and women, it has all sorts of descriptions, and it talks about those who are the haves and those who are the have-nots. Talks about the rich and the poor. You should talk about the upper class and the middle class and the working class and the lower class and all this. The world looks upon men and women and speaks about Protestant or Catholic, speaks about Jews or Gentiles, speaks about Muslims or Hindus or Shintoists or whatever it might be. The world looks upon men and women and divides them all up into different categories. But the Bible says there's the wheat, the saved, and there's the chaff. The chaff are men and women who are not saved, who have no faith, who have never been to Jesus for the cleansing power, and never been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. They may be out and out infidels like Paine or Voltaire. They may be out and out atheists and antagonistic to the things of God, or they may be ordinary, decent men and women, as it were, going about their business every day. And although they would not call themselves an atheist, in a sense they are practical atheists because they have never received Christ as their own and personal Savior. They have never come to Him to have their sins forgiven. Many, some are self-righteous. And they say, well, I'm as good as so-and-so who goes to the Free Church in Dromore. I'm every bit as Mr. So-and-so who professes to be a Christian and a born-again one at that. And that may well be so. They may be, as far as this world is concerned, decent and upright and honest and reliable. But I want to remind you tonight that the Bible teaches us that God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world by that man whom He hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's not asking you to compare your life to the preacher, to the elder, to the deacon, to the Sunday school teacher, to the member. He's not asking you to compare your life to some Christian, because Christian men at best are only, the very best of men are only men at best. And we will fail, and we will stumble. But He says you compare your life to the impeccable, sinless, spotless, crimeless, and flawless life of Jesus Christ, and you will find, therefore, just how far short of God's glory you fall. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This world looks out upon men and women. There was a man in the Scriptures. He longed to have his sight healed. The Lord touched him. And at first he saw men as trees walking. And the Lord touched him again and made his vision perfect. But people are like that. They look out at the world. They say, there's a man. He's a doctor. He's a lawyer. He's a carpenter. He's a builder. He's a plumber. She's a nurse. She's a secretary. She does this. He does that. And we're very good at putting people into categories. But God says there's the wheat and the chaff. There's the saved and the lost. There's those who have been born again, regenerated by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. There are those who are still unregenerate. There are those tonight who, thank God, are walking on that straight and that narrow way that leadeth unto life. And there are others who are on the broad road that leads to a lost Christless eternity. And so when you read this verse of Scripture, Matthew 3 and 12, you realize here's an inspired description. But notice something else. You'll notice there is an important division. The Lord will thoroughly purge His floor, and He will gather the wheat, into the garner, and he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. He shall winnow and sift the men and women of this world as the farmer does with the crop. Now, down here on earth, we would make mistakes. And we might try to say, well, you know, if we look at it, we'd say, look at Judas Iscariot. He was the one whom the Lord Jesus Christ allowed to look after the finances, meager finances as they were, of the disciples. He carried the bag, the Bible says. And we may look at him and say, he's a follower of Jesus, and the Lord trusts him to look after all their monetary affairs. What a wonderful Christian Judas Iscariot is. And we would have been wrong, because we could not see what would happen, that one day, for the very love of money, he would betray the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And old W.P. Nicholson used to say, Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. But there are men and women in Ulster who betray the Lord for far less. For the drink, or the drugs, or immorality, whatever it might be. We would look at Peter. We would read how Peter denied the Lord with oaths and with cursing. And we would write him off, and we'd say, he would never be anything, do anything. He could not be saved. And yet Jesus says, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Pentecost, Peter's boldness and his preaching, and thousands saved. Our judgment would be flawed, but the Lord makes no mistakes. And as I said, God will judge the world, Acts 17:31, by that man whom he hath ordained, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that day, we need to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, because we have no righteousness of our own wherewith to boast or to take pride in. We need to be saved and cleansed in the precious blood, because there's coming a day when that division will come. In the parables, you remember how the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the harvest, and he says, let the wheat and the tares grow together until the time of harvest. You'll notice there's one final thought. There's an inspired description of the wheat and the chaff. There's important division. He will thoroughly purge the floor. But you'll note there's an irreversible destination. He will gather the wheat into his garner, the heavenly garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, the Bible tells us that there are comfortable words that are spoken to those who are saved. Child of God has that blessed assurance that from that moment when they trusted Christ as Savior and they were born again, that they're on their way to heaven and to home. And when it comes to the end of the day, they can say like Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. They can say, if I have to depart this life for the next life, it is far better, and I will be at home with Christ for all eternity. Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Henceforth, he says, is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only at that day, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Child of God has the assurance, even like the dying thief upon the cross, after a life of crime and a life of sin, after railing on the Lord Jesus Christ as he was dying upon the cross, then in repentance, he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that man had the assurance from the lips of Christ, no greater authority, that very day, he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus says, this very day, you will be with me in paradise. But the Bible says, he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The Lord Jesus Christ preached more about hell than he did about heaven. And men and women, the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and the nations that forget God. And it's a tragedy. Men and women are heading down that broad road to a lost eternity. And there's words of condemnation. And the Bible tells us there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, about the poor beggar man Lazarus, who sat every day at the rich man's gate, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that came from the rich man's table, the crumbs that were there. And the rich man died just as Lazarus died. But Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The Bible says the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And in the harvest season, we often remind men and women, there's a law of the harvest. There's the Lord of the harvest, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has given a law. And the Bible says in Galatians 6, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If he sows to the flesh, it's corruption. And I want to ask you tonight, as we bring our meeting to a close, to which of these categories do you belong? Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood? Are you born again? Are you ready for heaven and for home? Can you say, Fred, if the Lord were to call me out of time into eternity, I know it is well with my soul. I will go to be with Christ, which is very far better. Or do you have to say tonight, Fred, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never got on that road that leads to heaven. I've never turned from my sin. I've never received the Lord Jesus Christ. I know nothing about the cleansing blood of Christ. I know nothing about being born again. And that's why we're here. That you tonight may come as a sinner to Jesus. And thank God, as you come as a sinner to Jesus, he will save you, the hymn writer says. He will save you. He will save you now. I can say to you on the authority of this book, the Word of God, Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how good you think you are. Doesn't matter if you think you're too bad to be saved. You can come. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was reading the story about John Bunyan, the great man from Bedford who gave us Pilgrim's Progress. And old John Bunyan said, I'm so glad, he said, that God said in his word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because he says, if God had a said in his word, if John Bunyan calls upon the name of the Lord, he says, I would immediately think, am I the John Bunyan God was speaking about? Are there other John Bunyans? Are there many John Bunyans? Are there those who lived before I was ever born and their name was John Bunyan? Are there those who will live when I'm dead and gone? They will be called John Bunyan. Oh, he says, I'm so glad that the Lord says, whosoever. And the hymn writer says, whosoever means me, it's better than my name. Anyone, everyone, is not that the same? Believing is salvation. present, full, and free. Oh, the blessed whosoever. That means me. Friend, that means you. You can come tonight. You can be saved. You can leave this meeting knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that it's well with your soul, knowing that you're on your way to heaven and to home. If I can help you in any way to point you to Christ, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Don't leave the meeting, but stay, speak to us. Let us point you to Christ that you might know God's salvation. Let's just bow together, please, and a wee word of prayer as we bring our meeting to a close. Our loving God and our eternal Father, we thank thee tonight for the simplicity of the gospel message. And yet, Lord, we realize how solemn it is that men and women are described as the wheat and the chaff, that one day there will be a great and a solemn division, and then there will be an irreversible destination. We realize, O God, there are no second chances after death. Men must be prepared in this life for God's eternity. May some dear man or woman or boy or girl tonight take the sinner's place and pray the sinner's prayer and cry like one of old, then, O my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in Christ's precious blood. Take all my sins away. Lord, give them grace to come. Give them grace even to speak to us. Tell us of their need and help us to point them to thee, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We ask thee now, Lord, that you will separate us with thy blessing, take us all to our homes in safety, and abide with us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with us all now until the Lord Jesus Christ comes or calls. Amen.